Sanders. Joanna Lumley and Roger Allen will be here with our 6:30 comedy in a moment. But first, let's look ahead to next week.
Lady Killers with Lucy Worsley.
This is the story of how an ordinary woman who witnessed the violent killing of her husband found herself on trial for his murder.
A new run of the acclaimed series which looks at the crimes of women in the past from a contemporary feminist perspective.
Can I get away with this? How far can I go?
They're basically saying she gets off because she's posh.
True crime meets history with a twist.
What have I done? I have been married 6 months and it has been torture.
Starting next Monday morning at 11:30 on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
And you can hear previous episodes of Lady Killers now on BBC Sounds. Now on Radio 4, it's time to join the couple who are still passionate about life and each other. This week, Roger has to face up to family responsibilities.
Conversations from a Long Marriage
by Jan Etherington,
starring Joanna Lumley
and Roger Allen.
Too many broken hearts have fallen in the river. Too many lonely souls have drifted out to sea.
Episode 5, We Are Family.
The things we do for love.
The things we do for love.
What's the matter?
I had a really bad dream. I was running, being chased. I had to call for help, but I couldn't find a phone box and I didn't have any money.
So this was a vintage dream then? Pre-1983, before mobiles and also contactless cards?
What? You're carbon dating my nightmare.
I didn't realise you were worrying so much about your doctor's appointment.
I'm not.
You might think that, but your anxiety has shown up in your subconscious.
It's a routine checkup.
It's not routine. It's an appointment you made because you had some pains and your blood pressure was up.
Yes. Well, the pains have gone and the blood pressure's okay, so I don't really need to go anymore.
But you're still going, right?
Yes, all right, if I must.
You must. Look, instead of rushing to get breakfast before you go, let's have it when you come back. I'll go and make a cup of tea and bring some biscuits up while you have a shower.
OK, good idea.
Do you want me to come in with you?
Into the shower? Yeah, great.
No, to the doctor's.
No need, I'm a grown-up.
But you never ask the right questions or listen to the answers.
I'll make notes.
Is that the landline ringing?
Think so.
Where is it?
Downstairs on the base, charging.
I hardly recognise it. Nobody ever uses it.
Except the doctor.
Oh, I got troubles, oh, oh. I got worries, oh, oh. I got wounds to bind. So I went to the corner.
Right. Right, I've written that down. Well, yes, it is a bit of a surprise, a shock, in fact, but I will get back to you today. Thank you. Bye.
Hey, what's going on? You've been ages.
Sorry.
Did the doctor cancel?
No, he didn't.
What then? What's the matter?
I just need to sit down. I feel a bit wobbly.
Do you look as if something awful's happened?
It sort of has, but it's nothing to do with me. Well, it's everything to do with me, actually, but...
You're talking in riddles.
OK. Remember Auntie Hilda?
No.
Yes, you do. She's my mum's sister.
Has she died?
Far from it. She lives in Edinburgh on her own. She had a bad fall last month, not the first, and the hospital have told her she can't live on her own anymore.
Oh, that's tough.
They were arranging for transfer to a care home, but she said she didn't need to go into care because she had someone who would look after her.
Oh, good. Who's that?
Me.
You?
I'm her nephew. She has me down as her next of kin.
Crikey, why?
Because I am. She never married, no children, and oddly, she was very fond of me, although she never had anything to do with the family.
So was that her on the phone?
No, it was the hospital almoner, I think they're called, or used to be. She wanted to know when I could come and collect her.
You mean they're seriously expecting... No, she's expecting to come and live with us.
Yeah, that's about it. And if we can't take her, there's no one else, so she'll go into care, which she'll hate.
This is really sad. What's she like?
She's 92 now, apparently, I was just told. Former headmistress, feisty, bit scary. Ooh. I liked her a lot, and she liked me, but there was a family falling out.
About what?
Oh, you know, stuff.
Oh, stop it! Tell me!
Okay. She was my dad's girlfriend originally.
Oh.
They went dancing together.
Yeah.
She was pretty good at the slow foxtrot.
Uh-huh.
But when she brought him home to meet her parents, he saw my mum and fell in love with her instead.
Good grief! Why didn't you tell me all this?
Not a lot of point in talking about an aunt you were never likely to see. She went off to university and Mum and Dad got married and then I was born, and I think Dad insisted that she should be my godmother. He was trying to heal the rift.
Well, obviously it didn't work.
My mum wasn't keen, but Hilda was happy because she could come and see me when I was small and also see Dad.
Oh, so she was still carrying a torch.
I didn't think anything of it when I was a kid, but when I look back...
Phew, that must have been hard for your mum.
It was. I think they were polite. But I did get the impression my dad was the great love of her life.
Oh, cripes! Miss Havisham!
Not quite. She never got as far as the altar with him.
So when did you last see her?
She went to America to teach, and then my dad died. I last saw her at his funeral. She stood at the back.
I don't think you pointed her out. I'd have remembered.
I went to find her afterwards, and she'd gone. I think that's when she must have moved to Scotland, and I haven't seen her since.
So you didn't keep in touch either?
She's very independent and moved around a lot.
How did the hospital find you?
Well, we haven't moved for decades, so she still has this address.
It's odd that she's decided she wants to live with you.
Not that odd. She always said, I was just like my dad. I don't see it myself.
Oh, this is so romantic. A tale of lost love. Oh, get her down here. We need to talk.
I don't think we'll ever discover what really went on. I was too young to pick up on it, and Mum and Dad are gone now.
Right. Let's be practical. Does she need round-the-clock care?
No. She's quite frail, but the doctor says, mentally, she's still firing on all cylinders, correcting the grammar on her hospital notes and the nurse's use of language.
I can't wait to meet her.
Oh, be serious. I said I'd call them back, and I'll tell them it's impossible. Our house has got too many stairs, no bedrooms on the ground floor, a dog she could trip over, all sorts of hazards. Ain't gonna happen.
Look, I know it's impractical, but... Oh, blimey, it's 1:30. You're gonna miss your checkup.
Hell, forgot all about that. Maybe I could still make it.
No, you're not even dressed. You'll never get to the surgery in time.
And if I went now, I think my blood pressure would be through the roof.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I gotta...
Go on, Amy.
Hi, I've got some focaccia from the deli for lunch.
Lovely.
We could eat out here.
Bit chilly.
How's things? Did you phone the hospital?
Not yet. I came out here to have a think, but Amy thinks I came to play with her, so I haven't had much peace.
She loves her squeaky pheasant. Oh, sorry, darling. I should have stayed here with you and talked this over.
It's fine. There isn't really anything to talk about. Auntie Hilda can't come and live here. I think we both know that.
You've made up your mind?
I have.
Then why haven't you phoned the hospital to tell them she can't come?
I don't know. I'll do it now.
No, hang on. Wait. I'll tell you why you haven't phoned yet. Because you feel guilty.
Do I?
Of course you do. She's your only blood relative and she's depending on you.
Oh, that makes me feel even worse.
Should I tell you what I think?
When have you ever not?
I agree that this house is hardly designed with a 90-something-year-old in mind.
We'd need handrails,
yeah.
Shower seats, loo seats,
mm-hmm.
Four-wheeled stroller. She's a very old lady.
OK, but at least she's alive.
What does that mean?
It means we've been lucky. I don't mean lucky-lucky,
mm-hmm.
but in the sense that neither of us has needed to look after our parents in their later years. Our dads didn't have any later years, and both our mums were pretty fit right to the end. But we're unlucky in that we have no parents still living who need us, who we can care for and keep safe. But now we have Auntie Hilda. And she has you, us. She doesn't need to go into a home. I think we have a duty to bring her here.
We may have a duty, but are we capable of fulfilling it? It's hard work looking after an extremely old person.
Well, I'm an out-of-work editor, because Esther still hasn't found a new publishing deal, so I'm at home, and I'm pretty strong.
She's not even your auntie.
She's my auntie-in-law.
It's a massive decision. Where would she sleep?
We'd have to convert your study into a bedroom.
Why not your study?
Oh, How practical is that? Mine's at the top of the house. But I'll share it with you.
Oh, that'll go well.
We'll give and take.
I suppose the good thing is the downstairs loo is next door to my study.
We'll need to put up more shelves. I bet she's got even more books than we have.
But very old people need a warm house. Visiting Jack in the care home is like walking into a hot yoga class.
We could just keep the heat up in her room. It's all sortable. Oh, come on. What do we need to do to prepare for her?
The hospital said we can get advice and help from social services and occupational therapy, create a care plan.
This'll all be good practice for when we need it.
You said you weren't planning on growing old.
I'm not. I'm thinking about your future needs.
But hang on. I still think it's crazy. None of it makes any sense. I need someone to tell me what to do.
That'll be me.
I mean someone wise.
Well, thanks very much.
Maybe we should, you know...
I don't. What?
Pray about it first.
Since when were you religious?
Since this morning.
Oh, won't you show me the way?
Lordy, lordy, I thought she'd never go to bed.
She's not even gone straight to sleep. She asked me to get Joyce's Ulysses down from the shelf.
God. But she's absolutely fascinating. The short lecture on that misogynist Thomas Hardy, oh, it had me weeping for Tessa the D'Urbervilles.
You can tell that she was a brilliant teacher.
And the stories, the people she's met, dancing with Sinatra, and she was there when John Kennedy met Elvis.
Really?
Well, maybe you're doing the pasta when she talked about that. She said the testosterone in the room nearly blew the windows out.
A very colourful image.
It must have been amazing to be there with those two.
Miraculous. As far as I'm aware, Kennedy never met Elvis.
What?
Elvis met Nixon, but I don't think he met Kennedy.
Are you saying Auntie Hilda's a liar?
She's a storyteller. And as Mark Twain said, never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
Well, I don't care. I think she's huge fun.
Yeah, but she's been fun for over 5 hours. It's nearly midnight. I hope this was a one-off because I don't think we can provide her with an audience every evening.
She obviously adores company. And she's bonded with Amy already.
And the feeling's mutual.
That's good, isn't it?
I think Amy's devotion is linked to the stash of bonios Hilda brought with her. We're going to have to confiscate them or we'll end up with a 10-stone dog.
Well, you tell her that. I'm not.
Are you scared of her?
Of course not. But she's cut from the same starched underwear as Bertie Wooster's Aunt Agatha.
Don't forget, she's physically quite frail.
It's hard to believe, when she managed to yatter all the way from Edinburgh.
With only two loo stops.
It's not bad for an old lady.
We stopped for me, not her. She says she spent a lifetime doing pelvic floor exercises and has total control of her bladder. Didn't even need a loo break in the ring cycle.
She's probably oversharing, but that's allowed at her age.
It was an entertaining 6 hours.
I love the fact that she walked into her room and said, "It's too hot, can you open the window?"
Almost like she's one of your relations.
Oh, I'm shattered.
I gave her Amy's cuddly cowbell to ring if she needs anything.
I know. She said, "Does he think I'm a geriatric? I'll ring your mobile if I want you."
I'm definitely going to get her one of those buzzers you wear around your neck.
Once again, you tell her that. I'm certainly not.
The lady's still around. She's seen it all and covered quite a lot of ground. Though she's had her share of fun, she feels the party's just begun. What the hell?
Amy slept on Hilda's bed.
Again? That's 2 days running. We'll have to stop that.
Apparently Hilda says she brings her toys with her when she comes to visit in the night.
This has all the makings of a disaster waiting to happen.
Maybe we should get a stairlift installed and move Hilda upstairs. Or even a proper lift.
I'm not prepared to carve lumps out of this house just to turn it into an access all areas for geriatrics.
Could be an investment. You might need it one day.
Pronoun trouble, darling. We might need it.
Like I said, an investment.
Let's try disciplining the dog first before we convert the house into the Bide a Wee Sunset home, shall we?
Get down, get down, get down. You're a bad dog.
You've been ages. Were the papers late?
No, I was nearly home, but then I had to go back because I'd forgotten Hilda's FT again.
That'll be another detention. What do you mean you don't take the Financial Times? How do you keep track of your investments?
Please, miss, we don't have any.
She was appalled.
Has she had breakfast yet?
No, I'm just doing some porridge. Want some?
I think I need it. I've heard it gives you stamina.
Would you like me to sprinkle it with cinnamon and honey?
Why are you being so chirpy and nice?
Because... Sit down. I've got good news.
Has Coral at Pilates told you you're very bendy again?
She has, but more importantly, Rix Roden...
Oh, jeez, that's a name I hoped I'd never hear again.
Oh, stop it. He's done something wonderful.
Skied across the high Himalayas in a pair of Speedos.
You guessed. No, Esther called and said Rix told the directors he would leave the publishers and not offer them any of his future works unless they reinstated Esther and her, and I quote, wonderful editor, which is me. And they said, OK. So I'll be able to finish the two projects and then edit Rix's Googling the Gobi, because he crossed the Great Desert just using Google Maps. Oh, look, I know you're not very keen on him.
About as keen as Batman was on the Joker.
But he saved both our jobs. I thought you'd be pleased. For me, for us. I'll have an income again.
Sorry, darling. Of course, I'm delighted for you.
But you hate the fact that it was Rix that made it possible.
Honestly, I don't care about Rix anymore. I think you had a huge crush on him, but thank God it burned out.
It would never have worked.
Because you could never be unfaithful, could you?
No, because he lives in Cumbria.
Ha! And Windermere Trysts would have hammered your senior rail card.
That was a consideration. You're still frowning. What's up?
Well, it's great that you're working again, but that means inevitably I'll be Hilda's primary carer.
I'll be working from home, mostly. Although I do have a meeting in town on Thursday, and then there might be a few things I have to do face-to-face, but I certainly won't let you take on too much. Have you made another doctor's appointment, by the way?
How can I? I don't know what I'm doing from one day to the next.
Well, tomorrow, I'm guessing, you'll be taking Amy to visit Jack in the care home, as usual.
That's the plan.
Why don't you take Auntie Hilda with you?
Take the dog and an auntie. It's too much.
It'll be good for Jack and for you. It'll give him somebody else to talk to. You said it's hard to keep the conversation going, but Hilda won't run out of topics.
I thought you were taking her shopping.
Yes, well, I could do that another day. I've got a bit of paperwork to do for the new contract.
Oh, it's started already.
But I'll take over from you when you get back. Promise.
Well, let me tell you about the way she looked. The way she had turned the colour of her hair. Her voice was soft and cool. Her eyes were clear and bright. But she's not there.
Hi. You beat me back. Just went to get some printer paper. It's pouring out there.
I know. I had a damp dog and a wet auntie.
How was it?
Shh. Auntie's having a lie down.
What did she think of the care home?
She greeted everyone like the Queen Mother meeting her people. Have you come far?
Oh.
How lovely the flowers are.
What did Jack make of her? Did he bore her with his war stories?
I think he was quite smitten. He sang to her.
Really?
If You Were the Only Girl in the World was playing on the radio, Jack just stood up, gazed at Hilda, clasped his chest, and launched into song.
Oh, I wish I'd been there.
For a very brief moment, she was struck dumb.
I'd definitely like to have seen that.
But then she joined in. It was very touching, until Amy started howling.
Well, what did the care home staff do? Tell them off for disturbing the other residents?
No, they applauded. And Jack immediately launched into We'll Meet Again. I think he'd have gone down on one knee if there was any chance he could ever get up again.
Oh, gosh, what a double act. Do you think there's a Zimmer-based romance on the cards?
She treated him more like a pupil. She told him that he was not stood on the beach at Dunkirk, he was standing.
She's right, of course.
As always, and she very firmly instructed him in the right way to get up from a seated position.
Jack usually clings to the nearest nurse, doesn't he?
Arms out straight, don't touch the sides, lean slightly forward and rise gracefully, as she put it.
It's amazing how she can still do that.
She's been doing it all her life. Her legs are quite frail now, so I think it's more about steely determination than strength.
But still impressive.
More than I can manage. A pair of them wore me out. I think I'll have a nap.
Oh, good idea. We must make the most of time to ourselves.
I'm talking about me, not us. You said you'd look after Hilda this afternoon.
Yes, but she's asleep.
You could do some gardening.
It's raining. Come on.
Hold it right there. I do mean a nap.
Oh, me too. Of course, darling.
It's raining today, but once there was summer and you, and dark little rooms, and sleeping late afternoon.
I think she just overdid it.
I kept trying to signal to you, but then Sally asked her a question and she was off on another story.
And even when they were leaving, Hilda launched into Strangers in the Night.
She told her Elvis story again?
Only this time he was meeting Lyndon Johnson, apparently. Of course. But she had such a good time.
And would still be having one if I hadn't asked Peter to start the Exodus.
You forgot to tell him to be subtle.
Subtle? He doesn't know what that is.
So he just stood up and said, I've been told it's time to bugger off.
Still, we got her off to bed between us.
In spite of her protest that the night is still young.
But for the first time, she looked really done in.
Mm. Everyone loved her. I knew they would. Di asked her if she was the inspiration for the prime of Miss Jean Brodie.
And she said possibly, as she knew Muriel Spark quite well.
Is that true?
Who knows?
Sally wants to adopt her.
They're two of a kind.
Oh, it's good they got on, because Sally said she'll always come and help out with Hilda if we need it.
She doesn't know what she's letting herself in for.
It'll all settle down. And I think she'll sleep in a bit tomorrow. What?
I can hear a squeaky pheasant.
Oh, no! Amy's gone into her room again. I'm sure we shut the door.
We did. I'll go and get her out. Auntie needs a restful night.
OK, I'll put the dishwasher on. I don't think it'll disturb her. La dee 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 dee.
Darling, come here, quick! Auntie's collapsed. We might need an ambulance.
What the hell if they've rung the closing bell just as long as someone's putting on a show? It can be time.
That was scary.
Certainly was, and I'm glad we brought her in the car instead of waiting for an ambulance.
You just picked her up and ran with her, like Clark Kent, my hero.
To paraphrase the Hollies, she ain't heavy, she's my auntie.
Oh, I think we're both in shock. So sudden.
Although she was kind of talking nonsense when I went into her room. I assumed she was dreaming. Then I thought it must be a stroke. That's when I called you.
Well, that would have been the most likely thing, but fortunately, they think it was just a UTI.
I know. Bladder infection. I was listening.
It often mimics a stroke. People go doolally and get very poorly very quickly.
We've got to make sure she drinks more water.
She says she does, but I've seen her pouring it into a bowl for the dog.
I'm glad they're keeping her in tonight.
Yeah, at her age, everything's dangerous. They need to make sure she's recovered.
She seems well on the way. She told them the lighting was very poor in the ward and the room was too hot.
Oh, she's in good hands. Come on, let's go home.
I just need to sit for a moment. The pain across my shoulders is unbearable.
What? You shouldn't have picked her up, darling. Let me rub it for you.
Oh, it's not muscular, it's something else. It feels like something scary.
What do you mean?
I just know it's not normal. It really, really hurts. Across here. I need to close my eyes.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, darling. We are going quite grey. Nurse, doctor, please help him. Help us. My husband's in terrible pain.
A heart attack. It's such a cliche.
But you couldn't have chosen a better place to have one.
I knew something was wrong.
You've been doing so much lately. But who knew shoulder pain was a symptom? Chest pain, yes, but...
That's cardiac arrest. Different thing. I've learned a lot.
Cardiac arrest is more serious. That's the one the footballer had on the pitch, isn't it?
Anything to do with the heart is pretty serious. I should have had that checkup. I felt achy and weird for a while. I kept putting these pains down to other things.
Typical bloke. Are you feeling sleepy yet?
Yeah.
No chance for quickie, then? I'm trying to be awfully bright and brave.
I can tell, thank you.
But I don't know what to say, really. Except I love you.
Love you too.
They're going to make me leave in a minute.
Do just as well. I don't think they want you wandering around telling them what to do.
It's an operation they've done many times before, she said.
Which is good news.
Coronary angioplasty. They blow up your artery like a balloon and you can watch it happening on the screen.
Thank you, nurse. I might switch over to another channel.
How are you feeling?
Crap, I'm frightened.
Oh, darling, hold my hand. You'll be fixed. I know it. Is there anything you want me to do?
Bring the dog in.
Oh, she can't come into a surgical ward, I'm afraid.
Sorry, it's...
Yes, yeah, OK. I think they want me to go now, my darling. But I don't want to. I'll just be in this little room at the side, waiting for you to come back, and when you wake up, I'll be here, the first thing you see. Can I do anything else for you? Darling?
You could pray.
God, dear God, sorry, I know I haven't been in touch lately because things have been going reasonably well for us. Auntie Hilda's going to be fine, by the way, as you obviously already know. So, thank you for that. I haven't needed to bother you much otherwise, although I know I'm supposed to chat generally and keep you up to date. And you may feel I've got a bit of a nerve asking for help now. He's in there, and not at all well. And if there's any way you can reach out and touch him with your almighty hand, or I'm honestly not sure of the specifics, but I need him, God. I don't really see the point of life without him. I realise you've got a lot on your plate, and you must hear this sort of thing all the time, and I'm not a special case. But he's very special to me. And... Oh, no! A doctor's just run past. Please let him be all right. Thank you for listening.
Walk me out in the morning dew, my honey. Walk me out in the morning dew today. I can walk you out in the morning dew.
Conversations from a Long Marriage
was written by Jan Etherington.
It starred Joanna Lumley
and Roger Allam.
It was produced and directed by Claire Jones
and was a BBC Studios production.
Now there is no more morning dew. Now there is no more morning dew.
And we'll join Joanna and Roger again at the same time next week here on Radio 4 when Joanna plans a new way of life.
Sideways with me, Matthew Side.
If you can fall in love while living in a car park, then there's hope for all of us.
Ideas that shape our lives with stories of seeing the world differently.
It's a way of blaming the victim.
Head to BBC Sounds where you'll find the whole back catalogue featuring episodes on altruism, Stockholm Syndrome, and the current series concludes asking why we tell stories.
It's hard for us to just sit with the fact that really, really bad things can happen.
Sideways on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds, next Wednesday afternoon at 4.